We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio.
Sort of a Football Friday on the Midday Show. It is Benigno and Roberts until 1 o'clock this afternoon, and coming up at 1. It's been a while since I've said this, or Joe has said this. Coming up at 1, Mike's on, Francesa on the Fan. He's coming on a few hours early. Not only is it app day for Mike, but it's the bar A day for Mike. So very big Friday here in New York City and New Jersey. And usually the Bar A show is a sign that summer is over. I'll tell you a sign that I had that football's on the way. Every morning I wake up at around 5:15 in that range. And the first thing I do is I brush my teeth and I run downstairs and take my dog for a walk. First thing, you got to get him out there to go to the bathroom. And when I took him out today, there was a chill in the air. It was the chilliest it had been in a morning all summer long. And I started to get excited because my favorite season is fall, far and away. I love the fall for many, many reasons. Not only is it football, not only that, but baseball, pennant races, and the weather. I just love that, you know, 60-degree, the leaves are changing. I love it. Fall, autumn, whatever you want to call it, is number one. And when I went out this morning, even though it's going to be 80 degrees today, don't get me wrong, when I went out this morning, for whatever reason, there was a nice chill in the air. Now, with that said, I'm surprised about one thing. I had Antro Roll on yesterday. We're going to have David Deal on later today. And I've heard something from former Giants and former Jets, and they have no reason to say otherwise, but they've all basically said that they took this third preseason game, this Jet-Giant preseason game, and they admitted that it meant more, that it meant something, that it was a bigger deal. And I'll tell you right now, as a fan who's watched Jets-Giants forever, right? I mean, I grew up, Jets-Giants, third preseason game. Sure, it's a dress rehearsal, the battle for bragging rights. Now it's the Snoopy Bowl. I've been to a handful of them. There have been some moments in these games. Specifically, the biggest moments of my lifetime has been injuries. I mean, think about it. Some serious, some not. Serious, Jason Sehorn. Not Eli Manning getting bloodied. Remember the Eli Manning getting bloodied game? Now, didn't turn out to be a big deal. Eli never missed a game. But for whatever reason, the only thing I remember about that game was Eli Manning getting bloodied. Now, was that the same game Sanchez got hurt in? I don't even know. Sometimes they meld together. But the one thing I do not remember is who wins. I do not care. I do not care who wins this game. And if you take Antro Roll for his word, and I do, and you'll hear from David Deal in a little bit on this show, they cared. They were into it. It was a big deal, at least for when they were in the game, because usually you're not playing the entire game, but you are playing a half, and you'll get some plays into the third quarter. As a fan, I'm just being honest, and maybe guys are different. I don't know if Ernie feels differently or Giant fans out there feel different or Paul DeTino feels different. I have no idea. But for me personally, I don't care who wins, and I never have. There isn't really any bragging rights. I'm not bragging. You think I'm bragging if the Jets win tonight? You think I'm going to come in here Monday morning and say, ha-ha, yeah, nah, what? The ultimate bragging rights in the last decade for Jets-Giants is Victor Cruz, and he's still running. That legitimately is the ultimate. Different in the 80s when the Jets caught the Giants a playoff spot, and I think for a while that was the ultimate in bragging rights. But for the last, you know, decade or so, the ultimate in bragging rights is that moment, that play, and what it led to. And what it led to is the Jets going down the drain. Think about their record since that moment. Think about their failures since that moment. And think about what happened with the Giants, at least for that season. They won a damn Super Bowl. But in this preseason game, the excitement that I have, if any, is just that it's football that looks the most real before it's real. That's the way I describe it. It's the game that's the realest thing before we actually get the realest thing. And truthfully, this realest thing is not really that close to the realest thing. And I'll give you an example why. Because going into this game, whether you're a Jet fan or you're a Giant fan, sure, there's things you're looking for. And there are certainly important things, specifically roster spots. Starting jobs. In the Giants' case, we know about the battle for the second safety position next to Landon Collins, the battle at free safety, where a guy like Curtis Riley is trying to make an adjustment from mostly being a corner at Tennessee to being a safety, to roster spots, to, you know, can Lorenzo Carter be a starting linebacker? On the Jet end of things, competitions, or at least seeing if Darren Lee doesn't stink, or the tight end position, or the wide receiver battles, or seeing the adjustment to the zone blocking scheme that Rick Dennison has installed. I'm not looking for a win or a loss. And truthfully, on the Giant end more than even the Jet end. You know, I know the Giant offense hasn't looked great in the preseason. And really, when have we seen the Giant offense? I mean, think about that. We saw Eli Manning for two drives in the first preseason game. And we didn't see Eli Manning in the second preseason game. And we haven't really seen this offense at all, because this offense and its success, sure, it's going to be based on major improvements from this offensive line, but it's also going to be based on one of the best wide receivers on the planet in Odell Beckham Jr., who, if I had to guess right now, is not playing tonight, and a running back who not only is picked top five, top six in every fantasy league, but has an excellent chance right out of the gate to not only be an impact running back, but to be a guy that's targeted many, many times and be a huge focal point of this offense. We're probably not going to see him today. And I'm not saying we should. If I'm Pat Shurmur, I have to be careful. And as he has said, and he's done this very eloquently, I've been studying Pat Shurmur so far to kind of find out what type of head coach he's been. He's not giving you much information, but he's doing it in a non-obnoxious way. And that's tough to do. You know, you can be Todd Bowles, you can be Ben McAdoo, you can be Bill Belichick. In my opinion, all three of them gave you no information, but they've done it in a very obnoxious way. So far with Shurmur, look at every answer he gives about Saquon Barkley. It always comes back to, we're going to be smart, which is code for, I'm not going to play this guy that much. How can I? I don't want him getting hurt. He's got a hamstring issue. So this Giant offense tonight, even though you're going to be mostly looking at this offensive line and looking at Eli, Eli's two biggest weapons are likely not to play in this game. And if they did play in this game, I don't think it would be very often. Now, you're still seeing Sterling Shepard, and you're still going to see Wayne Gallman and probably Jonathan Stewart. So you're seeing guys that, and Evan Engram. So you'll certainly see guys that'll be a part of this offense. But if this Giant offense is going to be as special as the fan is dreaming about, it's going to be, a lot of it is going to be based on Odell, who's a top two, three, or four wide receiver on the planet, and Saquon Barkley, who before it's all said and done, may turn out to be the best running back on the planet. There's a good chance we're not going to see him today. So what are you really looking for with this first team offense? And the truth is, the preseason can be mental health-like for fans, but what we see from Eli and this offense is probably not going to have that much of a bearing on what we're going to see week one against the Jacksonville Jaguars. What I mean by mental health is that if you're concerned about the Giant offense, or you're concerned, really, let's say the Jets offensive line, you want to see it perform better. You don't want to see them continue to cause you any worry about something you're already worried about. But from a Giant offensive standpoint, if we're not going to see Odell Beckham Jr., and I don't think we are, and if we're not going to see Saquon Barkley, and I don't think we are, then what are we really looking for from this first-team offense? Now, you're looking for, specifically on this line, for Eric Flowers to get used to the fact that he is now a right tackle on this team. You're looking at the center position, which is still a competition between Jalapeño and Brett Jones. And if you really want to go deep, you're looking at backup offensive line positions, a guy like John Greco and John Jerry, who are battling for spots. From a Jet perspective, it's different because we're still waiting to see who this quarterback's going to be. And it just feels inevitable. Now, I could sit here all day and tell you why I would start Teddy Bridgewater, and I have. And I could continue doing it today. But the handwriting's on the wall. And the handwriting says that barring injury today, and that's a big part of today's game, barring injury, Sam Darnold's going to be the starting quarterback for this team. That Teddy Bridgewater is here, not only was he here as an insurance policy, but he's here to turn into basically spending $1.5 million and turning that into a draft pick, whatever that draft pick is. If it's a fourth, if it's a third, we'll see. So the idea that Teddy will start, it just doesn't feel real. And I would start Teddy. I think he's played well. I still think he has a huge upside. There's a guy that was in the Pro Bowl a couple of years ago, and I don't feel a rush with Sam Darnold. As ready as he may look, as great as he's been in the classroom, I don't find there to be a rush. And I'm not scared about the three games early in the season in a short period of time. Nothing scares me about starting Sam Darnold. It's the idea that I've got this other young quarterback who can only enhance his value and probably at this point gives you a better chance to win, and an offensive line that has some concerns going in, and we'll get to the line in a second, that I would pull the trigger and start this guy right away. And no, Sam Darnold will start eventually. Because once Sam Darnold starts, the hope is that he starts every game for the rest of his career. But the handwriting's on the wall. And that is, if Sam Darnold can come out tonight and be competent and not turn the ball over three times, and the turnover we saw in week two, I can't get nuts about, because remember, they were going for it on fourth down. So what do you want him to do? Take a sack? I mean, seriously. So I'm not even getting nuts about the turnover that he threw in that game in week two. And I think he was fine in week two. I don't think he was great. I don't think he was as great as he was in week one. But I think a lot of the coach's determination on who wins jobs is not necessarily the games we're watching, but what they're seeing in practice. But if Sam Darnold is competent today, and if he stays upright and healthy, he's going to be the guy, and they're probably going to move Teddy Bridgewater, even if I don't agree with it. I think you want to see this offensive line play better, and one defense of the Jet offensive line has been Kelvin Beachum is their starting left tackle. He didn't play last week. Brian Winters is their starting right guard. He didn't play last week, and at least there's a chance that both guys will be out there. Now, I don't think that makes the Jet offensive line a top five or top 10 unit, but it should be more competent with those two guys out there. I'm also very curious about this wide receiver battle, because if you watch these games and you pay attention to these games, there are guys, and there's one guy in particular who I watch and I read about, and I say, boy, that guy deserves to make the team. That guy's developed a nice chemistry with Sam Darnold. He should be on the team, but the numbers game may not let him be on the team. And the guy I'm talking about is Trey McBride, who's played well, and we'll see how he does today. One thing to look at with these competitions is if a wide receiver is also on special teams and is getting big time playing on special, like being on the first unit on special teams, like Sharon Peak, that's going to give him an edge up. I'm also interested in seeing Chris Herndon today, the young tight end. I'm interested to see if Darren Lee is going to continue to stink. But more importantly, and probably the most important thing out of this game, like I said at the top, is that this game doesn't become known for some kind of major injury. Because when I think of Jets-Giants, unlike Antrell Roll and unlike a lot of former players, I don't think of who wins. I don't think of the point spreads. I don't think of performances. I think of that guy got hurt in that game, whether it's Mark Sanchez or it's Jason Sehorn or it's Chad Pennett, or you name the injury that we've seen over the last decade and a half. So for the Giants and for the Jets, the most important thing to look for, besides the things I've listed off right now, is everybody stay healthy. But it's a Friday night, and we've got some football, and we are only a couple of weeks away from when they actually matter.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.